Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. For the 100th time, this is Parkside Today. Believe it or not, we've reached the century mark. And we would not have reached this milestone had it not been for the support of Chancellor Debbie Ford a couple of years ago. Chancellor Ford, thank you, and welcome to the 100th show. It's also been a pleasure to welcome back the person who said yes to being our very first interview, UW Parkside Director of Athletics, Andrew Gavin. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you.
You guys glad to be here? Kind of quiet.
Fired up.
Yes.
Okay.
Fired up.
Okay, just checking.
Yes,
just,
John.
Just checking.
Congratulations on your 100th show with Parkside Today.
Well.
And I'm excited to be back on the show, but more importantly, to continue to tell the story of success here at UW Parkside. And I cannot believe 100 shows Parkside Today.
I agree.
And another way for us to showcase the amazing talent and the amazing results and successes of our faculty, staff, alumni, community members. And and so I have a question for you. I know you're going to interview us, but since it's your 100th show, tell us how it feels to, you know, think 2 years ago where you started and how you were thinking about this, and now as this milestone is occurring, what's been the best and what's been the biggest surprise?
I think the best part has been how fast it's gone. You know, that if I hadn't stopped to think about, well, yeah, we've been doing this for a couple of years, and went back and added up, because there were some weeks over the holiday breaks that we didn't do a show, and you know, when did 100 come up, just because you kind of look at those milestones or those things. It's hearing all the different stories on campus, and I think not only hearing stories on campus, whether it be, you know, the research and talking to like a Christopher Noto on the different discoveries in Texas, or whether it's Franny Mann and what she's doing with the cranberries in, you know, the cranberry industry and her work. And then you get into the community and, you know, talking to the Racine police chief, one of the more recent ones. And he's talking about, oh, he was at Parkside, he took some courses here. And so you start to see all the different connections. And that even when I didn't bring the chief in to talk thinking there was a Parkside connection, it was more, I met him, he's a person who has a pretty interesting role in our communities, and I thought it would be interesting to talk to him. And then when he comes in, you find out that, oh, there's also this Parkside connection. So yeah, that's been kind of fun. And we're about this close to being, however this works, we're about this close to being out there on the various podcasts. So it even easier, you know, even broader reach for Parkside Today. So that'll be kind of fun to see when my able-bodied assistant Tim McKenzie gets us rolling on the podcast. So that should be fun. But
Congratulations on 100 episodes, and I know that you have more episodes planned.
Yeah.
And I think also thank you for extending the reach of the UW Parkside story and its impact. And based on listening and talking with you about those you have interviewed, I know it has been a highlight
of
the past few years.
For sure.
And I also agree with you. It's about the interconnectedness and really the vitality and relevance and innovation that the university brings to Southeast Wisconsin. So thank you on behalf of the university.
Well, I'm glad to do it. It's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate the support for allowing us to do that. But I was thinking about 100 shows, and then I was thinking there's some other milestones, and one of the milestones for you, Chancellor Ford, is in August you celebrated your 10th anniversary with the university. That 10 years has gone by very quickly. So my question to you is, 10 years ago, what were some of your, what do you remember as some of your key goals or things that you thought, you know, here's some areas where I think I can get some things done, and I want to get some things done?
Yeah. Well, John, thanks for asking that question, and certainly I've had the opportunity to reflect on the first 10 years. Now I'm in my 11th year here at UW-Parkside. And what attracted me to the university was the mission of UW-Parkside, the students that we serve, particularly first-generation college students. And as I have said on your show and say often, that I, too, am a first-generation college student. Mm-hmm. And I believe my opportunity as an educator today is to pay it forward. And as chancellor, I have the opportunity to create a learning environment where all students, faculty, staff, alumni, and community members have a chance to learn. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the most rewarding aspects of serving as a chancellor and serving as an educator and a leader. But as I reflect on what I believed we needed to focus on back in 2009, mm-hmm. and what we have focused on is could be summarized in two words: student success. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the university had right before I started in August of 2009 had been awarded a grant from the Department of Education, the Title III grant, to help us improve the outcomes and our programs and services to improve student retention and ultimately to improve the graduation of students. And today, if you ask us to talk about that, we're talking about more graduates than at any point in our history. Mm-hmm. We've established a bold goal to increase the number of graduates at UW-Parkside by 50% by 2025. And when we set that, 2025 seemed a little far away, but right now it's within our sights. It's yeah. right here on the horizon. Yeah. But we are going to meet and exceed that goal because of the shared commitment, the shared vision around student success at UW-Parkside at all levels, and really the dedication of our faculty and staff to support all of our students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know we've talked about that a number of times in the past of some of the things that you saw as a person coming in, even before being selected for the position, as here are some of the things that I know I can make a difference on. I need to make a difference in these areas, and that retention and student success is huge. Andrew, before we go too far, congratulations on your 40 under 40 recognition. That's fantastic, and I believe very well deserved. That must have been a fun evening.
It was a fun evening. Thanks, John. It was a humbling honor, not one I expected, not one I knew I was nominated for. But exciting to receive and receive really on behalf of not myself, but our staff and the university, and to be there in Milwaukee amongst the rest of the class of 40 and more than 700 people that were at the event was quite a night and a good opportunity for UW-Parkside to be there and be visible and to tell our story in that sure. sense.
Good.
Can I add something there?
Sure.
I just want to also...
You're the chancellor. You can jump into this show anytime you want. It's just fine.
I want to congratulate Andrew, and I believe, if my assessment is correct, Andrew was the only representative from Kenosha County.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Andrea from Racine County, okay. But quite an honor for him, for the university, and it was a night of celebration, and the future of our region is strong because of leaders like Andrew Gavin and the others who were recognized at the Milwaukee Business Journal 40 Under 40 event.
Yeah, and they were talking in a couple of the Business Journal stories. Mark Cass, editor, had mentioned that they had received over 350 nominations this year, which was a record for them. So pointing to the strength of the region and the younger leadership coming up.
So I liked the word young being included in that.
Yeah,
I don't always feel young these days, so I appreciated that part of the recognition as well.
Sure. So Andrew, in the almost 3 years that you've been here at UW-Parkside, when you think back to starting here and you kind of come into the university, sort of the same question that I asked the chancellor, what were some of the things that you saw as, I can make a difference here? Here are some of the things that I need to work on, or was it immediate, or was it something that maybe took some time as you were here to see what that vision or to build that vision?
Yeah, I think there were certainly some things to do. If I think back to getting started in the 17-18 school year, as it related to potential conference realignment and some of our staffing vacancies that existed at that time, I mean, there was certainly a short-term to-do list, but really the goals were broader than that and long-term, more long-term thinking than that, as it relates to just laying the foundation, I think, for what Parkside Athletics would become and what would lead us towards accomplishing those goals, even the ones that weren't necessarily set yet. And that foundation was about our people. So our student-athlete experience was a critical kind of priority initially in terms of enhancing that experience for our student-athletes and understanding what their experience was and what opportunities there were to help them grow, to help them be more competitive in and out of competition. And then certainly our people as it relates to our staff and Parkside Athletics. So that's an area where we've spent a lot of our time is identifying talent, trying to build our talent, retaining our talent, and building the capacity of the Parkside Athletics staff. So that has been vital. I know you and I have talked on this show with a couple of our graduate assistants, but certainly that's an example of something that wasn't necessarily on the table as a definitive strategy or goal was to add 18 graduate assistants. But it came out of the foundational goal of we need to have great people on our staff and we need to have the capacity to accomplish our goals. Alignment with the university. I think this interview is a fitting setting to talk about that. You know, just understanding how to be in alignment with the mission of the institution, the student success initiatives that Chancellor Ford talked about, and then how to better educate our institution about Parkside Athletics, about Division II athletics, and making sure that we were good teammates was certainly a foundational goal for us. In telling our story, Chancellor talked about that too, but that's the T in Ranger Impact. The T is telling our story, and I think that's something that we've tried to do both internally and externally, on campus and off, in our community, throughout our region, in our conference, nationally. How do we make people more aware of the great things happening at UW Parkside and specifically through the athletics department? So telling our story is something that we've certainly focused on as a foundational goal. And I think we've made progress in each of those areas, and that's really what has allowed us to set more concrete goals to really define vision and what's next for us is try to get those things right foundationally.
And certainly anyone who's been to campus recently and who's walked into the Sports and Activity Center, and we had thousands of people here for just a couple weekends ago for Kenosha Expo, it's a much different appearance for Ranger Athletics and the Sports and Activity Center than just a couple of years ago. How did that all come about? How did that start?
Well, I think one of my initial observations was a lack of Parkside pride within our building. And I think pride can take on a lot of different forms, but a lot of times it is visual, especially in the sports world. It's your mascot, it's your logo, it's your school colors. And we didn't have enough of that within the Sports and Activity Center. So I think it was an opportunity for us to build that pride, which is important certainly for the environment that we want to have on a day-to-day basis when we go to work, when our student athletes go to practice, competition, when our students go to class in the building. Even if they're just going to their exercise science lab, they should feel pride to walk into the building, and it is a collegial atmosphere. But also our visitors. So you referenced Kenosha Expo. We bring tens of thousands of visitors to campus each year specifically to visit an athletic facility. So it's important that when a 12-year-old or 16-year-old or a community member of all ages walks in to our facilities and comes on campus because of a Parkside Athletics facility, that they're walking away thinking about Parkside as a place of pride, as a place of opportunity, a place that they may want to go to school, that they may want to tell their grandkid about, that this is a great opportunity and a great campus. So that was really at the core of why we felt like a facelift, so to speak, was needed within the SAC. And it's been fun work to try to transform some of that visually.
And I wonder if when Craig Becker goes home at night, if he still sees dark green in front of him for all the painting that
he has painted quite a few walls over there, that's for sure. And did so with pride. I mean, you talk about a national champion Parkside wrestler and alum, and you know, talk about coming to work with pride every day. You know, Craig Becker's a guy who does that. So it's fitting in some respects that he visually and physically put that pride on the walls.
Right.
Of course, I have to say something about the facelift and the Sports and Activity Center. And I think when I think about pride, I think about the comments that some of the student athletes said. that whenever they would come back from a break or even from an away athletic event, it was like a holiday or a birthday because there was always something new.
Oh, wow.
And another gift.
Yeah.
To hear them and know that the university was investing in them and their success, and to make sure that when folks came in to the Sport and Activity Center, they knew that it was home of Ranger Athletics.
Yeah.
And there's no question, you know, that you were in the home of Ranger Athletics when you walk in to the Sport and Activity Center. So thanks to Andrew and his team for all of their work and their vision to make it happen.
Yeah. And kind of taking that and extending it on to the rest of campus right now, there's a revitalization, or that's the wrong word, it's a an update to the App Factory, the work that's going on in there. We had comments from, we hear comments all the time from people who are visiting saying, wow, whether it's the Bedford Hall, that image really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, and we are so fortunate that we have an amazing learning environment. But most importantly, the folks in our physical plant staff and our custodial staff and our grounds crew, they take such great pride in the university.
Yeah.
And as a younger university, we maybe have fewer deferred maintenance issues. But most visitors, including prospective students and families, and certainly current students, faculty, and staff, and others who come, they always comment on the quality of our facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fortunate right now. We're about to launch a very big project this summer, the renewal of Wiley Hall, the D1 and L1 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, an investment from the state to do some renewal work in the mechanicals and the electrical and plumbing system, the heating and air conditioning. And so it'll be a little disruptive this summer for about a year, but the results are again focused on student success and will transform Wiley Hall into a 21st century learning commons for students.
Right.
And but there are some other projects that are going to happen. We're doing some utility work. Again, this is work that you notice when it's not working, and we want to make sure it continues to work.
Yeah.
And then we're going to, we were fortunate to receive some funding from the state to do some renewal in GreenQuest Hall and two of the science labs.
Mm-hmm.
The College of Natural and Health Sciences continues to attract the most students here at UW Parkside, not only as incoming, but also graduating students in the health and natural sciences, and be able to do some small projects to enhance the effectiveness and the quality of the laboratories is, again, a high priority for us. So a lot happening at UW Parkside. And I think, John, if I add it up, it's about between $45 and $50 million worth of capital projects that will start here in the summer. And that does not include some of the work happening in Sport and Activity Center. But Andrew knows all about that.
Right. He does know about that. And in case you just joined us, we're talking with Director of Athletics here at UW Parkside, Andrew Gavin, and Chancellor Debbie Ford. Andrew, that was kind of a nice segue into a story that appeared in the Kenosha News over the weekend about some of the changes planned in the Sports and Activity Center, additional changes. We talked about some of the more just visual side, but this is actually changing a fairly important space and getting that back to where it can be utilized for different purposes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we announced last Thursday as part of Parkside Day the launch of Ranger Vision 2020. And Ranger Vision 2020 is a facility and fundraising campaign that really is focused in continued enhancements to the Sports and Activity Center and three kind of main facility projects that kind of steal the headlines away, although there's other work involved in the campaign, are the enhancement of DeSimone Gymnasium, and that is the facility that is our competition home for volleyball, wrestling, and men's and women's basketball, and also the home, as most would know, of the UW Parkside commencement ceremonies. And the opportunity there is to enhance a gym that's been a great competitive home court advantage, a great home of commencement for decades, but is dated as it relates to the bleachers and their comfort and their health and safety, mm-hmm. as well as the atmosphere that we provide in that space. So through Ranger Vision 2020 and the success of the fundraising, we will do a complete reconstruction of the bleachers, create a couple of VIP seating areas on the west side of the gym under the west basket, and then enhance our video boards and other digital displays to kind of play into that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So the home of our sporting events that take place there, as well as commencement, will kind of be transformed from an atmospheric perspective, as well as certainly the day-to-day use and the recruiting advantages that'll happen in there. The pool area, formerly known as the pool, which has served this university for decades as well, but has been under construction or awaiting construction for now more than 3 years, will be transformed through Ranger Vision 2020 into a multi-purpose turf center, a space that will be a real game changer as it relates to Parkside Athletics for our baseball and softball and men's and women's soccer programs, as well as create numerous additional offerings for campus recreation and intramural needs and opportunities, as well as the community. So the pool, for really the history of UW-Parkside, has been one of those vehicles that drive visitors to campus. It's an important part of our strategic framework. It's an important part of our history, certainly an important part of our future to continue to do that. And I believe that this turf center will do that in a way that is fitting of the pool space, because it'll be similar in how often it brings young people to campus, community members to campus. And then the third kind of main component is the creation of an indoor golf center on the second floor of the SAC, which is a little bit of a smaller project, but just as impactful and transformational in that it will provide a real wonderful home for our men's golf program, as well as, again, not to sound like a broken record, but opportunities for our campus community as well as our local community. Yes. So exciting stuff, $5 million project. We're off to a good start with over $2.8 million in funding secured. We got a long way to go, lofty goal, but we're excited, and people that have seen the visuals and heard about the impact of the project, I think, are excited to help us get to our goals, reach our goals.
And I think one of the things that kind of stood out for me in seeing hearing about the project and seeing the spaces is it gives the you mentioned the soccer teams, the baseball team, the softball team, the golf team, that instead of and just maybe it's a little bit of a mental difference, but instead of just saying, well, here you're going to work out in the field house, that you've kind of got your own space that you can identify with. Does that make a difference? I mean, that seems to make a difference when you're recruiting student athletes to come to the university.
Yeah, it absolutely will make a difference in the recruitment side of things. And I think it'll make a difference in the development of our student athletes and the programs mentioned, as well as their experience. And some of that is, yes, having their own space that's designed to be useful for that sport. But also, a lot of those sports leave campus to practice on a regular basis during the winter, because we have local partnerships with facilities where a soccer team can go to the Boys and Girls Club and use their indoor turf space, or the baseball or softball team can go to a local hitting facility and practice. Mm-hmm. But it's never my favorite to pass one of our student athletes in the dead of winter on a snowy day, and I'm walking into the building and they're walking to their car to, drive across town to practice. It's tying up more of their time, which is already minimal sometimes in what they have available to them. So to be able to walk steps from their locker room to go to practice and develop is really going to be a wonderful thing for a student athlete experience.
Mm-hmm. Chancellor, what we talked a little bit about when you started here at the university, 10 years ago. Now that it's been 10 years, when you look ahead, where does the university go from here?
Well, from my perspective, the university only gets better, right? And I think one of the responsibilities that I have, along with the leadership team here at the university, is to make sure that the value of a UW-Parkside degree gets better each and every day. And some of the physical or capital improvements that we're making here at the university enhance our learning environment, not only for the students who are here now, but for the community members as well. So really creating an environment for the 21st century. Mm-hmm. We also have, and where we're going from here and how we're guided, is through our strategic framework 2025. And we have set bold goals, that, as I've talked about, to graduate more, increase the number of graduates by 50%. Mm-hmm. Numbers, what that means is about 800 students today, and hopefully awarding over 1,200 degrees by 2025.
Yeah.
We will do that with a combination of growing enrollment, retaining more students to graduation, and certainly enrolling and adding new programs both at the undergraduate and graduate level. Mm-hmm. And so we're already seeing, you know, some significant growth. We have four priorities that guide our strategic framework to 2025, and it's to provide a transformative learning here at the university, mm-hmm. to continuously improve student success, to partner with our communities, and to be a best place to work in Southeast Wisconsin. Yeah. And everybody here on campus has bought into those strategies, mm-hmm. as we go forward. And I believe that the future is brighter for the university today.
Yeah.
As we go forward, and as we look forward. And it just gives me great pride into who we are today, mm-hmm. How we, and coming off of an amazing 50 years celebration where we celebrated our bold beginnings and established a future focus, I don't think it gets any better for UW-Parkside, its supporters, its students, its prospective students, its alumni, and its faculty and staff. And today I welcomed on campus the ninth graders from Horlick High School. We're hosting all of the ninth graders from RUSD, mm-hmm. over the next few weeks. And I asked them to think about being in the class of 2027 at UW-Parkside.
Wow.
And for us, it's continuous. And that's what we need to focus on: continuous quality, continuous opportunities, continuous learning, and continuous engagement.
Yeah. And kind of on that topic of continuous engagement, last year you had the opportunity to work on a Status of Women project, which if people are interested in taking a look on our website, you go to uwp.edu and search Status of Women, and up will come the site there. How did that project come about, and what do you see as the major takeaways from that?
Yeah. John, thanks for asking about the Status of Women project. And I have the good fortune in our community to serve on the economic development boards and workforce boards across the region. And we're all talking about, and our business and industry partners are talking about, the need for talent. One of the things that the university does best is to prepare and educate talent, mm-hmm. not only for today, but well into the future. But one of the groups that folks, they were not talking about was, what about women? And so I came back and I talked to one of our emeritus faculty members, Dr. Norm Cloutier from the Department of Economics. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you know if the community, if we've ever conducted a Status of Women report for Kenosha and Racine? We both did some research. We realized that we had not. There is a nationwide tool that can be used called a Status of Women Report for your county. And so we used that tool and decided that we would launch a Status of Women Report for Racine and Kenosha. Mm-hmm. So it established the why. Then I had to determine how. And I wanted to, as part of our 50-year celebration, showcase the quality of the research across mm-hmm. a number of disciplines here mm-hmm. at UW-Parkside with our faculty. Mm-hmm. And Professor Cloutier chaired the research committee, and faculty members did research in areas such as crime, poverty, health and wellness, education, demographics, elected political representation. I may not get all of them, but there are eight or nine mm-hmm. that we did based on this tool that we used, where other counties across the United States have done the similar research. I also then put together an advisory committee of folks from Carthage, Gateway, UW-Parkside, the American Association of University Women, and anyone who wanted to join us mm-hmm. to think about, how do we create the report? How do we introduce the report? You know, the answer the question of, so what? So what do we do with this information once we have it? We decided early on that we would not print a report, that we would create it digitally, mm-hmm. and so that we could keep it more up to date. And so thanks to the UW-Parkside web team and our communication team, we have a digital website. Again, go to uwp.edu and type in Status of Women, and you'll see the amazing, right. I mean, amazing. I keep using that word, right? Because it, and detailed, in-depth Status of Women report in a number of demographic area, a number of areas with the data and evidence behind it. Yeah. And so I invite our listeners today to go to the Status of Women site.
Okay. And I'm sure they will. The time for our 100th show has come and gone. It was a fast 30 minutes, and whenever it goes fast, you always know it's a great show. And we hope you've enjoyed listening to it. We've been joined by UW Parkside Director of Athletics Andrew Gavin, UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford. Andrew, Debbie, thank you very much for being our guests on the 100th Parkside today.
Thank you, John.
To hear the past 99 editions of Parkside Today, that sounds a little funny too, visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.